This is The Parable, Musings on Design, Faith, and Life with Stephen Olmsted. It's April 30th, 2018. Using a trailer as a home office. I've worked remotely in some fashion for over a decade now, and in that time, I've had a few different home office setups. Early on, I worked from a desk that was smack dab in the middle of our living room. Next, I graduated to a dedicated room in our house. And currently, I work from a trailer parked on the side of our house. I initially gave up my office in the home nearly 3 years ago for two main reasons. One, the arrival of our third child required more living space. And two, we began to homeschool our kids and agreed that we both wanted to have a dedicated schoolroom for them to complete their studies in. With all of the rooms in the house spoken for, we decided to get creative with solutions for my office. A few options we initially explored were as follows. Option 1. Should we add on to our house? We reviewed all of our options here, and I actually drew up plans and took them to a city planner for review and approval. I quickly realized, however, that not only were city codes incredibly tough to meet for an addition, but also that the project would be insanely expensive to complete for even just a simple one-room addition. Option 2. Should we sell our house and move to a new one with more space? We talked about this briefly, but realized that we love our home and the neighborhood we're in. It's a perfect fit for us and our kids, and we're grateful to God for the blessing it's been. Plus, with three young kids in the mix, we're keen on introducing as little major change as possible right now. We vowed to avoid this option while we can, at least while the kids are young, due to the time, stress, and expenses associated. Option 3. Should I rent out an office space outside the home and commute there for work each day? We knew the answer to this was no almost before even asking it. One of the things I absolutely love about remote work, and that I refuse to compromise as long as I'm able, is the ability to be close to my family throughout the day. When I take a lunch or coffee break, I can check on my kids, I can give them hugs, I can ask them how they're doing. I can make sure my wife knows I'm there to chat with her or pray together if something comes up and we could benefit from that. So after debating all these options, I half jokingly said to my wife, I suppose I could always just buy a used trailer, drop it on the side of the house and make that my office. I looked over expecting her to give me a raised eyebrow, a smirk, and then to lovingly bat the idea away as quickly as it came. Instead, when I turned, I found her deep in thought. She said, you know, that actually might work well. We should look into that. So, thus began our research and hunt for the perfect trailer to use as my office. Even now, nearly 3 years later, I'm kind of blown away by how very well a trailer can work as a dedicated office space. I absolutely had buyer's remorse the day after purchasing my trailer. You're nuts! This is going to fail, and there's going to be something you didn't think about that's going to cause this whole thing to collapse in on itself. You're going to regret this lapse of judgment, I thought to myself. But, day after day, I began to realize that, miraculously, things were working well and not falling apart. So I decided to document this whole process because I've received a lot of interest from folks in the past about how I went about setting it up and how they could similarly do so. So with that, I'll dive into a few topics that hopefully some of you will find interesting and helpful. First, what are the benefits of using a trailer as an office? Why might you want to consider one as an option? Cost. Purchasing a used trailer is cheaper than adding onto your home or moving in most cases. As long as you have the space on your property to store it, it's worth looking into. Value. If you purchase a trailer that has depreciated enough, you'll be getting solid value here and a lot of enclosed usable space for very little money comparatively. Additionally, resale value tends to be pretty good, so you're not going to be losing much if you decide long-term it's not for you. Privacy. With a trailer, I have a completely separate, enclosed space to do my work. It feels a lot like going to the office, but I'm actually only a few feet away from my house. Work zone. The trailer acts as my dedicated work zone. There's a cognitive mindset shift that occurs when I head out my back door and walk to my trailer to start the day. This is where work happens. This is where I get in the zone and give 110% to my employer each day. When I'm done, I do all the things I do as if it was a real office. close my laptop, I pack up my bag, I turn off the lights, lock up, and I head home for the world's shortest commute ever. Flexibility. Even if your primary usage of the trailer is as an office like me, this is still a trailer. That means you can simultaneously create an office space for yourself and also open up new opportunities to go truly remote and travel while you work if you so choose. Legality. Anything that sits on wheels automatically makes permitting and conforming with zoning and legal ordinances instantly easier. This is honestly why the tiny home movement exists almost entirely as homes built on trailer chassis. If your office is on a set of wheels, you also play by a different set of rules, which can save you loads of time bypassing permit and approval processes for regular usage. Once you've decided a trailer office is the right fit for your life, how do you begin to find one that will work best? First, ask yourself, how modular is it? Many trailers consist of custom-fitted furniture that's difficult to reconfigure without significant alterations. Are you okay with living with a particular proprietary setup? I ended up looking exclusively at a type of trailer that's known as a toy hauler for the sheer fact that it's designed to be modular. The inside furniture of any toy hauler is intended to be completely collapsible. They do this to create as much open space as possible. Toy haulers are named accordingly because most people purchase them to carry their ATVs and quads in when traveling from place to place. These beastly machines being the operative word toy in this case. For me, this worked perfectly. I wasn't planning on keeping vehicles inside my trailer, but the open space and modular platform works amazingly well for home office use. I have a queen bed and two twin beds in my 22-foot trailer that I can theoretically pull out and use at any point, but I never do. Instead, the queen bed retracts upward to be flush with the ceiling, while the two twins completely fold flat against the wall. The twin beds also have the ability to convert to couches, so most of the time I leave one folded up and the other down for guests that may drop by to join me. Second, ask yourself, how much do you want to pay for it? I didn't want to spend a lot, and at the same time, I didn't want to get something that needed a ton of work. I purchased my trailer for $6,800 off of Craigslist. It was in amazing shape and I got a steal on it. The model I have normally goes for $9,000 to $12,000 used. Trailers can be expensive endeavors, and if you're purchasing something new, you can easily shell out $40,000 to $80,000. Honestly, that's absurd. You're using this as an additional space to get work done after all. You don't need the most modern thing out there. Do yourself a favor and snag something that's been kept in great condition and get it for a tenth of the price. One way I like to find deals on big ticket items like this is to use a service called If This, Then That, also known as IFTTT. With a little setup, you can have IFTTT monitor Craigslist for you using your exact specifications and have it text you when anything new comes up. Using this method, whenever a trailer that met my exact specifications and price range popped up, it would automatically send me a text message the moment the listing was live. I was patient and let that run for about 4 months until the right listing popped up. If you pounce on those immediately, you can get a killer deal. If I were to sell my trailer right now, I would definitely make a profit on it. Third, ask yourself, how much work do I want to put into making this something I'll truly enjoy using? I put in flooring, repainted all the cabinets, changed out lights, and wired up some electronics and sound. The shell, however, was solid and didn't require any work. One thing to note here, if you want something even remotely modern looking in the interior, plan on repainting. There is apparently an unwritten rule on the books that requires all trailer interiors to be decorated in a way that is 10 to 20 years out of style. Think I'm joking? Guess again. If you're looking at trailers, you've now entered the world of terrible faux wood, tacky blinds, and chintzy wallpaper. But don't lose heart. There's some really easy fixes to those things that take very little experience to pull off and greatly improve the aesthetics of your interior. You can invest as much or as little time as you want making this space your own, and it's entirely up to you. I elected to purchase a trailer that was in sound, mechanical, and structural shape, but that could benefit from a little interior TLC. I've invested a fair amount of time making it my own over the years. Some of you may be comfortable saving up money and getting a fixer-upper and dumping huge amounts of time into it. Some of you may elect to pay more and get something that's ready to go from the start. Know what type of person you are and plan accordingly with your wallet and with your time. Next, what are some other things you should know before investing in a trailer office? Trailer air conditioning and heating units. Trailer AC units are unsurprisingly loud, but surprisingly reliable and effective with cooling interiors under normal circumstances. Regarding the former noise issue, the best way to deal with this is to make sure you have a high-quality short-throw mic for work calls, something that picks up sound from a limited distance and won't broadcast that Boeing 747 air conditioning fan to your unsuspecting audience. Regarding the latter item here, the good news is that for most climates, you'll have absolutely nothing to worry about with regards to fending off the warm weather. The one exception to that might be Arizona, which is where I happen to live. For 9 months out of the year, I'm fine. However, in June through August, when temperatures reach up to 118 degrees here, there's a point at which that happy little AC unit caps out and just can't keep up. That typically only happens between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m., and the temperature inside will go as high as 88 to 90 degrees. And at this point, I generally do one of two things. One, I leave the trailer and finish out my last few work hours in the house or at a local coffee shop. Or two, I make sure I keep my video off on call so folks can't see the sweat dripping down my face. In all seriousness, though, the trailer does amazingly well in most climates and is not nearly as big of an issue as you might think. In colder climates, you'll need to think about your heating situation. I have a small space heater that I use for about 2 months out of the year during chilly mornings that is more than adequate for that task. Just keep in mind that your walls are thin and you've got very little insulation to regulate temperature with. I initially worried about burnout of the AC unit since I use it so much, but I'm now almost all the way through 3 consecutive Arizona summers with no issues at all. Replacement AC units for trailers will run you anywhere from $200 to $600 if yours does burn out. To me, that's an acceptable expense if I get 3 to 5 years out of a unit that I use every day. I'll gladly pay that replacement cost when mine inevitably dies during one of those miserable Arizona heat waves. Electrical bills. Electricity is a hidden cost you should account for, but there are creative ways to offset it. Let's get something straight. If you're using a trailer as an on-site home office, you will use more electricity than normal, and your electrical bill will be higher if you're constantly plugged into shore power. Especially in summertime, when I'm running AC nonstop all day, those bills can get high. One thing that works well to offset this, though, is making sure you have a smart thermostat in your main home. Before I worked from a trailer, I would work from my home office. To keep my home office cool, I'd run the entire house's AC unit. Now that I'm in a much smaller space on the side of the house, I can keep my main home much warmer during the day when no one is in the house. My trailer burns through electricity, but my house automatically saves money by turning off via the smart thermostat. So there's a trade-off there. Ultimately, you still end up paying more, but I think the trade-off is worth it. Tax ramifications and insurance. These were two areas that scared me, but they're really not too bad to figure out. Here's the short of it. In most situations, your home insurance policy will cover your trailer as long as it's sitting on the property when any accident or event occurs. If you're traveling with the trailer, it may be covered as part of your auto insurance, or you may have to purchase an additional rider. States vary on these laws, so don't take my word for it. Do your research, call your insurance company, and see what they say. As far as tax ramifications go, write-offs can be tricky, but not insurmountable. If you're using this as a dedicated space for work only, which is what I do, you can write the trailer on your taxes as an additional home with its own square footage. I won't get into the details here as I'm not a tax professional, but do your homework and you'll be just fine. Bathroom and sewage. Don't mess around with a bathroom setup unless you understand it and will keep up with maintenance or absolutely need it. Trailers with running water setups typically have 3 tanks. A potable water tank for washing hands, doing dishes, taking showers, etc. A gray water tank, which is where all that runoff water goes for disposal. And a black water tank, which I'll let you use your imagination what goes in that last one. In short, for a home office setup, maintaining upkeep on a black water tank feels like something you ultimately don't want to do for the smell, sanitation, and time purposes alone. One big exception here that I could see working well is replacing your existing toilet setup with a compost toilet. And when I first heard about compost toilets, I rejected them outright. I'm not some hippie after all. But the more I've researched this as an option, the more I've become convinced that composting toilets are an excellent option for a home office user who doesn't want the mess with emptying a black tank, but also wants the convenience of having a bathroom on the trailer premises. Keep in mind that a compost toilet conversion is going to run you somewhere in the range of $1,000 to $2,000, so it's not an inexpensive endeavor. I'll probably take that plunge, so to speak, down the road on conversion to this setup. However, in the meantime, I enjoy having Nature's Call act as a built-in way of taking a break from work and stepping away from my desk. My house is a mere 20 feet from the trailer after all, so bathroom visits are super quick and easy to accomplish. Making it your own. You can get really creative with making the space your own. I've done a lot of things that you wouldn't initially think possible in a trailer setup. I do my daily exercise in the trailer for 30 minutes every morning using a P90X3 routine. The space is just barely big enough and works great. I've got an Xbox retrofitted into the side of one of the cabinets so I can engage in brief gaming sessions on lunch breaks from time to time. I've set up an air filter system that runs constantly to keep the space fresh and circulated. I can fit a full-size standing desk in the trailer, and I actually end up standing 75% of the time. In true nerd form, I recently added a green screen that pulls down from the ceiling that I use during video calls. I've invested in lights to properly light that screen, and I can swap out my backgrounds on the fly to make it look like I'm in some swanky large office on video calls. Also, it kind of blows people's minds when I yank the screen out of the way mid-call to reveal I'm in a tiny trailer space. Look, I never said I wasn't a dork. These are just the sort of things that make me happy. And finally, how do people react to me being in an office trailer when we chat? Surprisingly, people almost universally love it. When I first started using it, I was self-conscious and I thought folks would think I was ridiculous. And I guess some of them do, but maybe in a good way. It's quirky, it's bohemian, and honestly, it's just a fun, unique thing you end up getting known for. I've come to embrace the "he's the guy that works in a trailer" moniker. The experience of working from a trailer thus far has been incredibly enjoyable and freeing for me, and I hope this little rant has been helpful for those of you who are interested in, and might encourage a few of you to pursue a similar, zany, mobile setup.